This is an iHeart podcast.
When I told people I was making a podcast about Benghazi, 9 times out of 10, they called me a masochist, rolled their eyes, or just asked, why?
Benghazi, the truth became a web of lies.
From Prologue Projects and Pushkin Industries, this is Fiasco, Benghazi.
What difference at this point does it make?
Listen to Fiasco, Benghazi on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
This is the Jesse Kelly Show.
It is the Jesse Kelly Show. Another hour of the Jesse Kelly Show on a Thursday. You are almost through the week. We're going to talk about this Biden political ad spending theory thing here in a minute. We'll talk about that. Talk about bank potential closures. Let's hope not. Let's hope not. People living paycheck to paycheck. We're warning Iran even more, whatever. There's lots to get to tonight on the Jesse Kelly Show. And we're going to get to some more emails and stuff. I want to talk about this really quickly here. First, I want you to listen to these words, and I just want you to write these words on your heart. Carry these words with you the rest of the day.
Beer brewed here, it is used to make the brew beer in this refinery. Oh, Earth Rider.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Now, speaking of Joe, here's the thing. Joe's a disaster. You know, I know, everyone knows. All right, whatever. Joe's not popular. You know, I know, everyone knows. That doesn't mean he's going to lose. Hopefully he loses. That's what I want. That's what you want. I'm worried about something. I'm worried about the amount of money they have. Joe Biden has a super PAC. It's called PAC Future Forward. Don't worry about the stupid name, but Future Forward is the name of the PAC. They just made, well, they're about to make $250 million worth of ad purchases. In fact, they just made the biggest ad purchase in the history of the United States of America. And the reason I bring this up is this. I'm not asking you to send money or whatever. I'm not to anybody. I'm not saying that. I just want to explain why money matters in politics again for people who don't understand. And you may not understand, because you're dumb, because money doesn't work on you. It doesn't matter who spends what in what race. You're the hyper-informed. You're going to look into the candidates. You're going to read things. You're going to listen to this. You're going to watch this. You're going to listen to them talk. You'll probably watch the debates. You'll weigh issues. You'll be informed. So money is not for you. Money is for Norm. Money is for Norma. I know this is insane, but there are probably people listening right now who this is true of. There are people across the United States of America who voted for George Bush, and then Barack Obama twice, and then they voted for Trump the first time, but then Biden the second time. Now, I know you're probably sitting there thinking, huh? What? These people exist. They don't vote the way you vote. They don't vote for the reasons you vote. Their norms, their normas, they don't understand. They're almost always, people who vote like that are almost always low info voters who vote on things that are actually really stupid. He seemed nice, though there are people who vote like that. But that's where the money goes. Now, let me pause before I go any further here, and let's just have a talk. A talk that might offend you, but it's a talk we have to have. Don't ever say, at least to me, you can say it in private, don't ever say to me, we need to get the money out of politics. I wish we could get the money out of politics. Stop. Look, I would love to be able to get the money out of politics. You would love to be able to get the money out of politics. That has never happened in the history of the world, and it will never happen. That tiny village in the Australian outback, yeah, the guy who wants to be chief, probably had to hand out some free cows to somebody before. Money, favors, it's always been involved in politics. Go read about the Romans. Money mattered a lot. Why did Caesar, why did he eventually become a big reason why he became so successful? Well, because a man, supposedly one of the richest men who ever lived, Crassus, stroked him a big old fat check that solved a whole lot of his problems. Money is in politics now. It always has been. It always will be. So don't say we need a law. We need to get the money. That's not how life actually works. Money's here. It's in it. And it matters. The Democrats have a fundraising machine. And remember what we were talking about how they weave their politics into every part of the culture. It insulates them from certain things. Having woven their politics into the corporate world has insulated them from having, quote, bad fundraising years. Because the corporate world understands now they have to be on the right side of the government. The government is controlled, whether it's under a Republican or Democrat, the government is run, stocked full of communists. And so they have to pretend to be, even if they're not, they have to pretend to be communists themselves. So when the Joe Biden super PAC comes to Johnny Warbucks and says, I need $10 million so we can go tell all the single women that Donald Trump's going to have them killed if they have an abortion, then Johnny Warbucks strokes that check. The Democrats have a lot of money for 2024. This big ad buy, you know where they're running the ads? Arizona, Georgia, Michigan, Nevada, North Carolina, Pennsylvania, and Wisconsin. I don't know if you've heard, those are fairly important places when it comes to the election. You know what is of note and what is kind of cool if you're looking for some good news, and this is really, really good news? There are two traditional swing states. They're really, really, really important states, and they're not on this list. Ohio and Florida. Ohio and Florida are critically important swing states, and they just made the largest ad buy for political ad campaigns and didn't buy there. Florida, well, Florida's solidly red now. Florida's no more purple. DeSantis takes over, opens up the place while the rest of the country closes down. People flee blue hellholes. Now Florida is so comfortably Republican that Democrats aren't going to compete there statewide. Ohio, now that Democrats are very, very openly the anti-coal, anti-manufacturing party, has gone from kind of a swing state to being a solidly red state. So that part is good. What is bad, what concerns me, is the amount of money they have. And I'm not going to break it down dime for dime, but you should know they have a lot more than we do. And our money is not going to swing states. It's not all going, I should say, to swing states. We're not making these kind of ad buys now in Georgia, in Michigan, in Nevada, in North Carolina, and these places where we have to win. Our money's going other places, and I'm worried about it. I'm also a little bit worried about how comfortable the Treasury Secretary is saying things like this.
What do you say, Secretary Yellen, to the clear majority of Americans who simply do not believe that the administration is helping them?
Well, you know, Americans know best, I think, about their own personal finances. And it is important to recognize that when they're asked how are they personally doing, over 70% of Americans say that they're very comfortable with their financial situation. So they seem to perceive the economy as a whole as doing less well than they are.
6 in 10 Americans are living paycheck to paycheck. 24% of the country, that's a quarter, has, Chris, you're just going to die of stress when I say this, 24% of the country has no money in the bank. Zero. Zero. Americans are stretched thin to the max. Maybe that's your situation right now. Canceling family vacations. Hey, we used to eat out every Friday. Jesse, we don't do that anymore. I know, I get your emails. And the people who are running the monetary system, have officially shifted away from promising they're going to fix it, promising it's going to get better, to telling you how great you have it, and telling you that, gosh, we're not even trying to lower prices. What?
How do you convince Americans and voters that those prices might not go back to where they were before the pandemic?
Well, I think most Americans know that prices are not likely to fall. It's not the Fed's objective to try to push the level of prices back to where they were.
New York Community Bancorp stock plunges 38%, reigniting fears for regional banks. I know this gets way in the weeds, but you should know that regional banks are over-leveraged to the hilt. And the last time we saw this, it wasn't that long ago, you remember, the federal government started stepping in and taking over these banks, gutting them like fish and handing them to their big finance buddies at JP Morgan and places like that. I'm going to move off this now because I do want to talk about the Biden comments to the service members' family, but something to keep your eye on. All right, the bones of the economy, if that's the way we want to put it, a little rocky right now. All right, speaking of bones, how do your joints feel? They ever ache you? You wake up and ankle pops a little bit and it hurts. Oh, I've got some popping ankles. There ain't no sneaking in and out of bed for me. The wife knows, trust me, because I sound like I'm walking on that bubble wrap. Your knees, shoulders, look, aches and pains and your muscles, bones, they come with life. The wear and tear of life. They just come with life. Cartilage don't last forever. The body don't last forever. You know you can have relief from that. Relief without destroying your liver with pharmaceuticals. Your bones hurt. Your liver doesn't have to hurt too. Relief Factor does it naturally. Drug-free, all natural. All you have to do is call. Look, they can't help you if you don't call. They sell three-week kits, three-week quick start kits. That's it. $19.95. Try it. You'll never stop. 1-800-4-RELIEF. Or go to relieffactor.com.
Jesse Kelly. Back soon.
It is the Jesse Kelly Show on a Thursday. Remember, if you miss any part of the show, you can download the whole thing on iHeart, Google, Spotify, iTunes. All that is free. All right, I avoided it. I've avoided it to this time, so I don't want to get my blood pressure up. And actually, I think I'll be fine this time. I think I'll be fine. I will, Chris, because he's done it so many times, I'm used to it. Those three reservists from Georgia who just died in Jordan, you know, that Iranian airstrike, they killed three of our people in Georgia. Well, Joe Biden decided today to make a call to one of the families. And I want to emphasize again that Beau Biden, Joe Biden's son, he died back home from cancer. He died in Walter Reed Hospital from cancer in America. He did not die in Afghanistan. He didn't die in Vietnam. He didn't die in Iraq. He didn't die in combat. He did not. And yet, this soulless, hollow human being continues to do this when he speaks to people who've just lost everything.
I know, everybody, I know there's nothing anybody can say or do to ease the pain. I've been there.
Yes, sir, we understand.
My son spent a year in Iraq until I lost him. And,
he did it again. You've heard me scream about this enough. I'm just going to say there are little things that reveal big things in people in life. You know this. There are little things that reveal big things. Putting the shopping cart back. I know you've seen this in your life. You're grocery shopping. You see somebody haul their groceries over to their car. They unload the groceries into their car, and there's always a little shopping cart, little compartment thing in the parking lot 10 feet away. They put them all over the place just for this reason. But you've seen the person come up to the car, unload their groceries in it, and then just leave the shopping cart in the parking spot behind, back up, and drive away. I don't need to know anything else about that human being. I don't have to meet them. I don't have to shake their hands. I don't have to get to know them. I don't have to swap text messages, a phone call. That tells me everything I need to know about how that person sees themselves, how they see themselves versus the rest of the world. I know exactly how self-centered that person is. I don't need to meet them. It told me everything I need to know. Everything. If your child dies, as a father, I don't think I could live. I don't think I could go on. I think the only reason I would maybe even keep going would be obviously for my wife and my other son, but I think I might just lay down and die right there of heartbreak. I couldn't imagine. And I know right now I'm speaking to people who've lost a child. I just can't imagine what you've gone through. I can't imagine it. The last thing in the world you would ever do would be to sit around with your campaign team and say, hey, you know what? We'll talk about how Bo died. We'll talk about how my boy died. That'll help our poll numbers. Hey, have we poll tested that? Let's talk about my dead kid. Man, that'll help. I bet the public will love it. What kind of sick freak does that stuff? These people, there's something wrong with them, man. There's like a spiritual level. There's something legit wrong with these people. Jesse. Hello, Shogun J. Steele III of the Pink Flower Clan. You talked today about the depression amongst men and women and the need to get yourself among other people, especially if they're like-minded. My wife and I went to an Aaron Lewis concert. Chris, who's Aaron Lewis? Michael, who's Aaron Lewis? Does anyone? No, okay, whatever. They don't know either. And I was imagining, and it was how I imagined going to a Trump rally would be. We're in San Diego, unable to leave our red state, raising our family. It feels like we're alone on an island here. Patriotic anti-commies, but we went to his concert and it was energizing and it gave us hope. Listen, he does warn about the language, so I don't know who Aaron Lewis is, but I guess maybe it might not be for the kiddos. But hey, that's another great thing. I brought up your gun shows and political rallies. Another great thing. Get out to a concert. Physically be with people. Dear greatest man on radio. I like this person. If you could, would you really tell Jimi Hendrix, Carlos Santana, and Stevie Ray Vaughan to keep their songs and guitar work to 3 to 4 minutes and no longer? Okay. I'm going to combine this. Chris, go ahead and grab that Jimi Hendrix thing. I'm going to combine this with this next email because I've been complaining about songs that are too long. Dear music expert, Paul McCartney said, if you write shorter songs, it leaves the audience wanting more. It was a theory he had. All right, now, we're about to have a talk. It's going to be about life and the music. I'll get to the music part of it. But have you ever heard of the Irish goodbye or the Irish exit? It's oftentimes called. Maybe you've heard of it. Maybe you haven't heard of it. But I do it. In fact, I'm now infamous for it with family, friends, neighbors, others. What is the Irish goodbye? What is the Irish exit? Well, the history behind it is if you're in Ireland, it's a very polite place, at least it was, and you're at a gathering, a get-together, and you want to say goodbye, the host or hostess will feel obligated to fawn all over you. Don't go. Hold on. Let me package up 10 meals for you to take. It becomes a huge obligation for them. So the Irish goodbye, the Irish exit, it's actually there. It's the polite thing to do. You just go. You don't tell anybody. You don't announce, it's time for me to head out. You just go. Now, what's this have to do with life or music or keeping things brief? I will explain in a moment. Before I do, maybe you're not strong enough or bold enough to leave without saying goodbye. If that's the case, all it means is your T levels have dropped dangerously low. I don't stress not saying goodbye because I don't worry if any one of my friends at the party is going to text me and yell at me. But granted, I've been taking a male vitality stack for over 2 years. Have you? Took it again today. Goes down with my breakfast every single time. What's it do for you? Oh, I don't know. How about naturally jacking your T levels through the roof? Ladies, how about naturally jacking your energy levels through the roof? That's the female vitality stack. Go until the end of February, a massive discount on any subscription for life, forever. Exclusive to Jesse Kelly Show listeners. Chalk.com. CHOQ.com. Promo code Jesse. We'll be back.
Truth. Attitude. Jesse Kelly.
It is the Jesse Kelly Show. It's me hating long songs, Jesse, explaining. I'm explaining something about life and music and why you don't need a 10-minute song. And why, first of all, we're talking about the Irish goodbye, and it's going to lead me back to the music. Irish goodbye. When I'm leaving an event, when I'm leaving anything, I do this in the business world. Clay and Buck had a big party in Nashville a couple years ago. It was a big blowout party, and I had to go over there and meet with the suits, and I was hanging with Clay and Buck and whatnot. I did it to all of them, all of them. They looked around, and I was gone. I just left and went to my hotel room. Why? One, it is, I admit I am a little bit rude, so there is that. There is that. When I'm leaving, I don't want to have to say goodbye to 8,000 people. And that now I've added a half hour. I was already tired and ready to go. Now I've added a half hour. Oh my gosh, can we hang out tomorrow? No, probably not. Anyway, so that's part of it. The other part of it is politeness, so they don't feel obligated to do that. Just turn around and I'll be gone. Then you can talk about, oh, that Jesse, he's so rude. But then everyone, the party keeps going. But the most important part of the Irish goodbye is this. You leave them wanting more. You didn't give them all of you. They didn't even get a chance to say a long goodbye. They're going to look around and they're going to be, oh, wait, where's Jesse? Oh, dang, we were just going to joke about that. And they're going to want to hang out more. And I'm going to say no, only I'm not actually saying it because I'm not there. And that's a good thing. You know why these long songs are garbage? Because it doesn't leave you wanting any more. In fact, it waterboards you with everything. And you know what's the best example of this? I'm glad this guy brought up Jimi Hendrix, who I love, by the way. I love Stevie Ray Vaughan, Carlos Santana. I'm a fan. What's one of the most famous things Jimi Hendrix ever did? One of the most famous things Jimi Hendrix ever did was at Woodstock. It was at Woodstock, right, Chris? I do have that. Yeah, it was at Woodstock in 69. He played the national anthem on his guitar. And it's crazy that this is so famous. You know why? Because it's just sick for about the first minute when Jimmy's just peeling out on his guitar playing the national anthem. Everyone digs it. And then he goes into some sort of heroin-induced slumber. I don't know what you want to call it. Stupor. I don't know what word I'm looking for. Stupor is the word I was looking for. I went to community college. And he starts playing something, I don't know, but it sucked. Chris, play a little bit of the good and then exactly why you don't let a song go too long. And there we go. Yeah. What is this? We were all enjoying the national anthem. But Jimmy, come down off the drugs. What was that? Did that make it epic? Is that what made it legendary? No one even listens to the second part of it. You listen to the first part, and then when Jimmy goes nuts, you turn it off. Always leave them wanting more, kids. I mean, I want more Jimi Hendrix. I don't want more. Ayanna Pressley.
Mr. Speaker, Walgreens is planning to close yet another pharmacy in the Massachusetts 7th, this time on Warren Street in Roxbury, a community that is 85% Black and Latino. This closure is a part of a larger trend of abandoning low-income communities like the previous closures in Mattapan and Hyde Park, both in the Massachusetts 7th. When a Walgreens leaves a neighborhood, they disrupt the entire community and they take with them baby formula, diapers, asthma inhalers, life-saving medications, and of course, jobs.
Why don't they just say, we want to take over Walgreens, own it by the state, so it can be... They just have such a hard time coming right out and saying, we're communists. Again, it's because they lie about everything. Don't worry, it's not just Massachusetts losing Walgreens. Poor Oakland can't keep a Denny's open.
The Denny's in Oakland, known for being always open, is now forever closed because of crime concerns. Once again, the chickens have come home to roost.
I feel so bad for the city of Oakland because it's...
I feel like that was a rooster and not a chicken, but we're splitting hairs here.
Like, everybody's leaving. I feel so bad that, I mean, they're leaving, you know?
Terrible that Oakland's like this. This is probably the oldest business on the block. Yeah, it's closing down. Sad. I'm a product of the Bay, born and raised, and this saddens me because when I was out of state, I was proud where I'm from, you know. And now, I just kind of shudder. I just shake my head because of all the crime going on.
Wow, I did not know that.
Jerry McComb had no idea he had.
I wonder if anyone's going to eat the rooster now that Denny's is gone. No, hear me out. We always talk about eating chickens. I don't want to sound naive. I mean, my grew up around animals. My grandpa's a farmer. I was riding horses in Montana. I'm very familiar with animals, but. Do they not eat rooster? Do they eat rooster, Chris? Now, that's a good point. They could be too gamey because they're always having to fight and flex. Chris, are you people allowed to eat roosters? Is that kosher? Is that something with fowl is fine? Okay. Right. What about with cheese? Can you put cheese on it? No cheese allowed? Chris, you said you do, but you're not allowed? I hope you tell your rabbi about that. Do you people have like a confession like Catholics do? Do you have that kind of thing? Not quite the same thing. Do you have the beads? The rosary. Remember, I had a Catholic send me the coolest freaking rosary one time. I'm not a Catholic. It was awesome, dude. It was one of the coolest things ever. Yes, I have it. Of course I have it. I would never throw that away. It was really cool. And it meant a lot to me. It meant a lot to me. I'm not Catholic, but it was awesome. You don't have a Jewish version of that? Beads or coins or something? Nothing? What? I'm asking, Chris. I'm asking questions. All right, whatever. I'm going to get back to this. Anyway, Oakland doesn't have a Denny's. Massachusetts doesn't have a Walgreens. Why don't those communities have it? Why? Why does Chicago, why do they have a mayor while Chicago's a war zone talking about Israel and Gaza?
But at this point now, I believe we're looking at 25,000 Palestinians that have been killed during this war, and the killing has to stop. So, yes, we need a ceasefire.
Because the people there voted for it. And I saw, it was a little while before the show, that someone put out a poll. Let me pull it up here. Someone put out a poll. It's from Interactive Polls. And it showed Mayor Johnson, Brandon Johnson of Chicago, or BJ, as the liberal white women call him, showed he had a 29% approval, 59% disapproval. And every time I see a poll nowadays, no matter what it shows, I shrug my shoulders because it's meaningless. Don't tell me how angry you are, Massachusetts, Oakland, Chicago, urban Democrat voters, and this applies to GOP primary voters as well. Stop telling me how angry you are and show me. Go show me at the polls. Hey, Crown Pounder. Finally made the move from beautiful and ruined commie Colorado to Kentucky. I'm slinging trash and working 12s to take care of my family. I don't think I'll ever go back. His name is James. Man, that's freaking awesome. That sucks about Colorado, though. Colorado might be the most beautiful state in the U.S. I adore Colorado. I spent so much time there. It really does suck what those dirt balls have done to it. I hate that they destroyed Denver. I love Denver. Gosh, I've had so much fun in Denver. And I the last time I was there, I was stunned by the homelessness. It would, boy, they've really, really made it a dirty, dirty place. I don't know who would be homeless in Denver because it's really freaking cold. You can go anywhere. Anyway, I don't understand that, but it's really, really bad. That said, how about a little praise for the trash men in our society? Another thing we take for granted. I know I do. We take for granted that there's a day of the week where we just put our trash out in a can and we come back home from work and it's gone. We take it for granted, don't we? When's the last time you sat and appreciated that? I don't appreciate it enough. And praise to the men who go do that work. That's good, honest work and a good living, fellas. You can make a decent living doing that. For real. For real. They pay all right. And look, that's who Done For You Real Estate is for. It's for normal people. I want to invest in real estate, but I'm not Bill Gates. Well, I'm glad you're not Bill Gates. That means you're not on Epstein Island. I'm glad you're a normal person. Done For You Real Estate is for normal people to begin investing in real estate. They handle everything for you. The call is all you have to do. They're going to find the right house in the right market. They're going to get your loan approved. They'll handle the closing documents. They handle the rental process. This is for you, normal person, to start building something that these people can't wreck. That's what Done For You Real Estate's about. And I love the stories from you about how they're helping you. It blesses me to no end. DoneForYouJesse.com. Go find out what they're about. These are wonderful people. They're my people. DoneForYouJesse.com. We'll be back.
I've got an animal inside of me.
Jesse Kelly. You're listening to The Jesse Kelly Show.
It is The Jesse Kelly Show on a Thursday. Do not forget to get your Ask Dr. Jesse questions emailed in right now. Ask me anything. We will tackle all of them tomorrow. Jesse@JesseKellyShow.com. Jesse@JesseKellyShow.com. We'll get to this. Good news about teachers' unions, probably bad news about the whole Iran thing and more. All that is still to come. I'm going to dig into some more of these emails. I want to make fun of The View first. There's the thing about racism in America. Well, you know what? We'll set that aside for a moment before we get to the racism part. I remember a conversation I had with my old man one time when I was younger. He probably doesn't remember this, but I remember it like it was yesterday. And we were talking about someone in our family had gotten cancer, and you know, cancer is just awful. It affects so many people. Maybe you're going through it right now, and if you are, prayers for you, but it's awful. And I was a child, a small child, 6-7 years old. I was a small child, and I remember I asked my dad, I said, Dad, because I'd seen an ad for him on TV, I said, Dad, why doesn't the American Cancer Society, haven't they cured this yet? And my dad looks at me and he says, son, do you think the American Cancer Society wants to cure cancer? What would they do then? Maybe a little cynical, but pretty true, isn't it? Very true. The people who complain the loudest about racism in America are the ones who are highly invested in keeping it going. It's everything. To them. Everything to them. Listen to these hags on The View.
And there are absolutely racist people in this country. It is not the vast majority of people in this country. And I feel like
the FBI director said white supremacy is the biggest threat to our country today.
Well, that still doesn't mean that that's the vast majority of people. I just don't believe that in my day-to-day life that the people that you're encountering harbor racist viewpoints. I do think that this division that we're creating...
If you look like me, you would believe differently.
But you know what? Alyssa...
Who's speaking there? That's Sunny Huston. She's one of the black ones on The View. She is a complete and utter moron, a despicable human being. She makes millions of dollars a year. Why? Because of this.
Just to understand, are we saying, do we think the vast majority of Americans are racist? That's what I'm trying to help me understand.
I think that there is a significant portion that are racist, and you can't dismiss my lived experience.
I would never dismiss it.
Here we go with the lived experience. Listen to this.
There are a lot of racists in this country.
I just experienced
my son walking down the beach being called the N-word several times in Florida.
So you can't say I believe.
That obviously never happened. Everybody has a cell phone out. Everyone has a camera. Everything's recorded at all times. And the public beaches are most definitely recorded at all times. I don't know when the last time you went to one, but it's full of Instagram models filming themselves on the public beaches. It's actually kind of obnoxious. Anyway, nobody called her son the N-word. No, the majority of the country isn't racist. It's awful. No, that's not true at all. She knows that. So why would you make up that story? Why? Well, here's another story. Guy faked a hate crime on himself.
A routine walk turned into a nightmare for a Southern California man. 39-year-old Scott Rowan went to a restaurant in his San Diego neighborhood to inquire about a job. He says he heard two people yelling homophobic slurs at him, so he yelled back. Rowan, who is gay, says the next thing he knew, he was being doused with some sort of liquid and then set on fire.
Immediately after that, I went up. Kind of like coals on a barbecue. Suddenly just went into flames. They were obviously out targeting the LGBT community.
3 days later.
Police say a man who says he was attacked and burned in an alleged hate crime is suspected of assaulting a pregnant woman. Officers determined the man with the burning.
Why do people fake hate crimes? Why does Sunny Halston lie about her son being called the N-word several times on the beach in Florida? Because these people need bigotry to be alive and well, because without it, they're nothing. Nothing. Sonny Halston wouldn't be a millionaire TV host without racism. Sonny Halston would be nothing. You'd never know her name. She would be nobody you'd ever heard of in your life. Because of this endless drumbeat about how evil and racist the country is, that holds up her entire life. Her life is built on it. Defeat it? The last thing in the world she would ever want would be to get past it or defeat it or admit we've overcome it. That's the last thing she'd want. All right, I have to get to this good news about the teachers' unions and some history stuff. I have to talk to you about your dog, about your dog's breath. Gets bad as they get older, doesn't it? The coat gets a little dull. Dog starts limping around as the joints are hurting. Do you know why our dogs go through these things? It's not just old age. They go through all these things prematurely. You know why? Well, what kind of health problems do you think you would have if you ate fast food every meal? That's what your dog does. Dog food is dead. They kill everything in dog food in the factory. We feed our dogs empty calories every meal. No nutrition in it. And we wonder, why does my dog have so many health problems? Why did he die at 10 instead of 15? Give your dog Rough Greens. Watch your dog not just come alive, stay alive. Your dog too lethargic or hyperactive? See what happens when you give them vitamins, minerals, omega oils, antioxidants, free jumpstart trial bags of Rough Greens. You just pour it right on your dog's food. All natural. Remember, created by naturopathic Dr. Dennis Black. Call them 833-33-MY-DOG or go to roughgreens.com/Jesse. All right. We talked a little bit earlier about money in politics. And money matters a lot. It is. Money is also a useful way to track things in politics. And this is what I mean. Candidates, campaigns, they're always putting out a statement on this or poll numbers on that. And I'm not worried about this and I don't care about that. But the proof is in the pudding, as the saying goes. By the way, I still don't know what that saying means. I don't know what proof anybody ever found in pudding. I mean, I like pudding. It doesn't matter. The proof is in the pudding. The proof is in the money when it comes to politics. If you want to know which candidate a campaign is worried about, look at the one they spend money attacking. That's the one they're worried about. Would you like to know which issue the campaign, any campaign, thinks is a winning issue for them and a losing issue for the other side? It's the one they're spending money on, the one they're running ads on. If your local GOP rep is running ads on the border and illegal immigration, it's because your local GOP rep probably correctly assumes that that's a winning issue for him and a bad issue for them. I have some good news. It'll sound like bad news, but it's not. I have some good news about where they're spending money. Hang on.
When I told people I was making a podcast about Benghazi, 9 times out of 10, they called me a masochist, rolled their eyes, or just asked, why?
Benghazi, the truth became a web of lies.
From Prologue Projects and Pushkin Industries, this is Fiasco, Benghazi.
What difference at this point does it make?
Listen to Fiasco, Benghazi on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
This is an iHeart podcast.